You're listening to Differentiated with Ben Silverman, where investment research analysts dive into insider data and demystify the signals that drive one-of-a-kind investment ideas.
Welcome to Differentiated. I'm your host, Ben Silverman. Monitoring management's words and actions is an important part of the investment process. It's why I've spent the past 20 years analyzing management actions such as their stock transactions and buyback executions. And it's why when my company, Verity, embarked upon employing generative AI tools, we decided to focus first on earnings conference calls in hopes of understanding the sentiment behind the words and actions of management with analysts. Getting positive data points out of management words and actions can be easy. Management buying stock is usually a good sign. Management executing a buyback smartly is another good sign. And management giving strong guidance and explaining upward business trajectory is certainly a good sign. Finding negative data points, whether for short idea generation or portfolio management, is not as easy. Insider selling is more nuanced than insider buying. Buyback execution information is typically backward-looking. And management, well, they manage what they say on earnings conference calls, avoiding certain phrases and even certain tones. Thankfully, by understanding what to look and listen for, investors can ferret out negative data points. And that's what we'll be talking about on this episode of Differentiated. We'll dive into how to find negative data points in various data sets, and then we'll wrap it up with a recent question I received from a client about negative data points. Let's start with insider selling. As I've discussed on previous episodes of Differentiated, there's long been an expectation by investors that insider selling can be a signal that a stock is going to fall off a cliff. That does happen occasionally, but not at the frequency that many investors expect. Instead, insider selling is nuanced, and only some of it is valuation-oriented or behaviorally meaningful, potentially pointing to a stock being fair or overvalued, or even that the stock may underperform relative to the market. So the type of insider selling behavior that we key on includes insiders utilizing Rule 10b5-1 plans to target specific prices to accelerate their sales at, insiders deviating from their established selling behavior, insiders with strong transactional track records who are selling, insiders significantly reducing their equity exposure, significantly reducing the risk profile of their exposure, and a group of insiders displaying some or all of those behaviors. In Q1 24, we've seen these behaviors at names such as Snowflake, where multiple insiders targeted prices up to $230, and the since-retired CEO accelerated his selling around that same price. This all came as the stock peaked ahead of an earnings and guidance announcement that sent shares plummeting below $170. At Palo Alto Networks, a director who had been on the board for more than a decade started selling at a $300 price trigger and then significantly accelerated his selling at $366. In the process, he reduced his non-option holdings by 80%. That selling came into pre-earnings strength as well and now looks smart as the stock is sold off below $270. One of my favorite historical examples of an insider with a strong track record deviating from established behavior is someone named Musk at Tesla. It's not Elon, however. Instead, it's his brother Kimball, who's a director at the EV maker. In November 2021, Kimball Musk transacted some aggressive sales outside of a Rule 10b5-1 plan. He'd only sold outside of a Rule 10b5-1 twice previously, and each time he caught prices that the stock wouldn't see for at least 6 months. So Kimball had already shown a keen ability to capture near-term highs when in November 21, he did it again. And this third time was really a charm. That sale in November 2021 came within 3% of what's still the stock's all-time high. This type of valuation-oriented selling, these accelerations, moving in and out of 10b5-1 plans, these behaviors and deviation in behaviors, these are all pieces of a puzzle when you're looking for short ideas or you're looking for portfolio risk management. These types of negative data points are hard to ferret out because they're often hidden and not seen by most investors who don't have access to insider trading data and the history of insiders. But by using these data points, you can help triangulate with other things that are potentially negative going on with the company, whether it be from a fundamental point of view or perhaps event-driven. So insider selling is a management action involving your own money. Let's look at one involving shareholders' money, stock buybacks. It's not unusual for a stock to get a lift when a company announces a buyback plan, but buyback plan announcements are not a guarantee a company will actually buy back shares. Certainly not a guarantee that if management does buy back shares, they're going to be smart about it. PayPal is an excellent example of a company that has not done a good job of buying back stock. Since it was spun off from eBay in 2015, the company's repurchased more than $21 billion in shares. Shareholders have seen a negative return of greater than 25% on that investment. All those buybacks have reduced outstanding share count by about 12%, and that's an effective ratio of roughly 60%. In other words, for every 10 shares that PayPal's repurchased, the company's only retired 6 shares, the difference being stock-based compensation that largely flows to, you guessed it, management. This poor buyback execution track record is why we actually viewed the company's August 2022 announcement of a $15 billion buyback authorization as a neutral, at best, event. Investors, however, responded positively, and the day after the announcement, the stock rose over 5%. There was even some positive media coverage around it, although we tried to dash that a little bit with our own commentary, reminding people that PayPal management had not effectively deployed shareholder capital for buybacks in the past, so continuing to do so and not doing it well wasn't exactly a bullish signal. PayPal's been a massive underperformer since that August 2022 buyback authorization. And interestingly, their Q4 23 buyback, which is the most recent data we have available, was the smallest in terms of dollar value since Q3 21. That's despite the stock continuing to fall. So instead of increasing the buyback pace on weakness, they've actually lightened up. A more recent underperformer has been footwear maker Skechers. The stock rallied nicely in Q4 23, but was down modestly in Q1 24. During Q4 23, the company transacted its largest buyback to date, repurchasing 1.1 million shares. Insiders, however, sold over 300,000 shares that same quarter. It was the most in almost 3 years. They followed it up in Q1 24 with sales of more than 600,000 shares. That selling has been led by CEO Robert Greenberg and his son, President Michael Greenberg. The aggressive insider selling during a period of aggressive buybacks represents a conflict between management's actions with their own money and their actions with shareholders' money. This type of conflict is behavior we look for when we're trying to discover short ideas. Management is saying one thing with their actions with shareholder money. Buying back stock should be an indication that management thinks the stock is undervalued. However, if management is selling aggressively at the same time, they're sending a mixed message. And what is an investor supposed to believe in those mixed messages? Well, buybacks supposedly benefit shareholders, but as we've seen with PayPal, they don't always. But who benefits from management selling stock on behalf of themselves? Only management. Conflicting sentiment is a theme when it comes to short ideas and portfolio risk management. That extends to earnings conference calls. After we launched our generative AI earnings conference call transcript summaries, we went to work on using AI to identify management sentiment on the calls as well. Management, not surprisingly, tries to avoid expressing themselves in a negative fashion. That results in baseline sentiment that borders on positive. So we started keying in on the companies in the upper band of positive sentiment, and what we wanted to look for was a conflict between management sentiment and market reaction to earnings news. Management at Tesla, Shopify, Rambus, Wolfspeed, Symbotic, among others, expressed extreme positivity on their Q4 23 earnings conference calls. Each of these stocks fell more than 10% the day after earnings as investors digested results, guidance, and management words. When management sentiment conflicts with the initial market reaction to their earnings report, one angle to consider is whether management's tone is appropriate given the information they disseminated. An overly optimistic tone at a time of execution failures can provide insights into management's capabilities and also their credibility. Those two elements are often the cornerstones of short ideas, and alongside management actions such as their trades and buybacks execution, offer a differentiated path to idea discovery and portfolio management. Let's reach into the mailbag now. One of my favorite things to do as part of my job is to interact with my clients and answer their questions, because their questions are often fascinating and they often direct me to situations that I'm not aware of. That's how much data that we're dealing with. This particular client had a question around a resignation of an executive. The company in question put out a tersely worded press release late on a Friday afternoon, and my client wanted to know, is this a bad signal? Yes, I said. Friday afternoons are notorious times to do bad news dumps. This is not just true in the world of finance. It's true in the world of politics. It's true in the world of sports. It's true in most worlds where people are disseminating news. The idea being that by the time Friday afternoon rolls around, some people are out of the office. People are not paying attention to the news. They're paying attention to what they're doing on Saturday and Sunday. So Friday is really an optimal time to bury news. And this is nothing new. This concept has been around for over 100 years. So we looked at the situation. We said, yeah, this is not a good sign. And it's not a good sign also when the company is very terse in their wording about a management change. It usually means that there's nothing positive about it. There's no accolades for the departing executive. There's no announcement of a successor. That's typically a sign that somebody has either resigned quickly or they've been forced out quickly. And one of the examples that I gave the client was Green Dot. And what I did was I looked back to last October when on a Friday afternoon, they filed an 8K announcing that Peter Feld, a member of their board, who was also a member of the Compensation and Risk Committee, that he was resigning and that the resignation was effective the next day. You know, companies said the typical, the resignation was not the result of any disagreement or matters relating to the company's operations, policies, or practices. What made Peter Feld's resignation interesting is that Feld is a managing director at Starboard Value, a hedge fund that is the third largest shareholder of Green Dot. That was October 6th. On October 9th, the company reported earnings that were very disappointing. The stock fell over 34%. So what was interesting was that the director resignation occurred just after the quarter closed. And then about a month later, when the company reported earnings for that quarter, earnings were not good and the stock got destroyed. So this is a good example of how you can, once again, find negative data points in a number of data sets and triangulate that with the things you know about the company from a fundamental point of view. In this case, this abrupt director resignation by somebody representing the third largest shareholder of the company came ahead of the stock getting destroyed.
This episode of Differentiated with Ben Silverman was brought to you by Verity. Verity designs software that helps over 360 asset managers discover one-of-a-kind insights, streamline research workflows, and manage fund research productively. To learn more or begin a free trial, visit verityplatform.com. This episode of Differentiated with Ben Silverman was edited, mixed, and scored by Calvin Martin.